Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Neil Nathan with co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum.
Welcome to the cutting edge of health and wellness today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my good friend and co-host, Jacob Teitelbaum, and we will refer to ourselves from now on as simply Jacob and Neil. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, Metagenics, and Frequency Specific Microcurrent for making this program possible. Since I personally use those products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of those products when appropriate. If you have any questions for us, we are live. Please call 1-866-472-5792 or email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net. I'd like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Playtime, and Kindle, all for free. So, without further ado, we have a very exciting powerhouse group today. Joining Jacob and myself today will be Dr. Mary Ellen Chalmers, one of the foremost holistic dentists in the country, who fortunately lives near me in Santa Rosa. In addition to her work teaching and researching into the dental field, Dr. Chalmers is an expert on alternative dentistry, and we're going to focus on a lot of that today. Our other guest, I'm delighted to have, Dr. Christopher Shade, who founded the Quicksilver Scientific Company in 2005, using unique methods, which we'll talk about, to measure mercury toxicity in tissues. And Chris has also worked on ways of helping get the toxicity out of tissues. So that forms a wonderful segue to our show last week on heavy metal toxicities. So, Chris, without further ado, please introduce yourself, and please also tell us a little bit about the kind of test that you developed and what it can teach us and show us to help our patients.
All right, very good. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy that we're starting to do research on this really crucial subject of metals toxicity in general. I tend to be a mercurophile, maybe not a mercurophile, but a mercury specialist. I got my PhD in environmental mercury chemistry, and mostly in the aquatic chemistry. And I always say the best mercury chemists at the time were all in environmental chemistry and had very sophisticated mathematical models for predicting what forms mercury would be in, whether it's a salt or an elemental form, whether that is available to be pulled into microbes, how it gets methylated and moves up the food chain, what it will be bound to in water and sediments and tissues. And so they had a very good, sophisticated understanding of the movement of mercury through a biological system. And even though I liked environmental chemistry, I really liked clinical chemistry a lot more.
So, Chris, could I say you had a mercurial personality?
You know, it's been said, you know, certainly some people who know me might say that. And ironically, when I did grad school, we were trying to measure very low levels of mercury. And it was very, very difficult. And it turned out that the building that we were in, an agricultural building, had just incredible mercury contamination. This guy ran into my room, and he said, Chris, you've got to help me. And he pulled me into this lab where he just dropped a 5-pound bottle of mercury, and it was all over the floor. And they used to use it to measure sulfur in soils and use it for mercury manometers, and they had it all over the place. And so we were all pretty acutely poisoned during graduate school. It was kind of a drag. So that is in me. I always say it's a good thing that I own a glutathione company and make these kind of things. Thankful.
So, Chris, with the
testing that we developed, I developed during grad school, and in environmental chemistry, you're trying to separate a small amount of methyl mercury away from a large amount of inorganic mercury, the salt form of mercury, because we're trying to watch it build up in the food chain, where you'll go through it bioaccumulating 1 to 10 million fold between the water and the fish. So we had to look at very small amounts of methylmercury at the bottom of the food chain. Now, when I went into clinical mercury, it's more about looking at smaller amounts of inorganic mercury, which is the downstream product that you're getting from your dental amalgams, and we're looking at that in the face of a larger amount of methylmercury that you're getting from food. And we found that separating these two and tracking these independently was extremely important, because in different things that you measure, be it urine, blood, or hair, you have different forms of mercury dominating that. For instance, hair is all methylmercury. If you're not eating fish, you don't have mercury in your hair. And urine is all inorganic mercury, and that's coming from your dental amalgams. And then you have some of the methylmercury from fish breaking down into this inorganic mercury form, and we're all breaking it down at different rates, and then it's going out through urine and through the stool. And we want to see how much of these forms are building up, because to a cell, the inorganic mercury is the most toxic form. And so we want to see how much of the fish-based form you're breaking down into inorganic, how well your kidneys are able to get rid of that inorganic mercury. Because when you look at urine, you see low mercury in the urine. Well, that's either good or bad. It's either good because you don't have a lot of exposure, or it's bad because you have a high exposure, but it's not coming out in your urine. And so it was only when we were able to separate these different forms in the blood that we could see what the appropriate urinary level should be relative to the blood inorganic mercury, that then we could judge how well your kidneys were filtering out the metal. And those transporters that work in the kidneys that filter out the metal are the same ones that are filtering out a number of other metals like arsenic and cadmium. And they're also working on a number of other toxins, different pesticides, herbicides, chlorinated hydrocarbons, mold toxins. And so when we do these sophisticated measures and we see how your body's processing mercury, it has implications for other toxins that are going out through glutathione metabolism for detoxification.
Let me ask you a question. In terms of orders of magnitude, how much more toxic in humans is the metallic mercury versus methylmercury?
The inorganic. So, and just to create some clarity for people, we've got metallic mercury, which we call elemental mercury. And then that rusts or oxidizes to the salt form called inorganic mercury. And that's the one that we're measuring here. And then we've got the methylated form, the methylmercury. So order of magnitude more toxic than methylmercury to the cell, maybe one, somewhere between 5 and 10-fold. And we're just kind of getting to the sophistication with our chemistry and our cell culture work that we can define that out. But as a rough cut, I'll give you between 5 and 10-fold.
Okay.
Just
to segue this, last week, Dr. Gordon and I focused a lot on the test that we had most experience on prior to beginning to learn about your work, Chris,
yes,
which was the DMPS challenge test and the DMSA challenge test.
Correct.
And what I'd like you to do for our listeners is to explain how your test is different. The DMPS challenge test is an intravenous test where we give an amount of DMPS based on body weight, and then we collect the urine for 24 hours afterwards, whereas your test is not a challenge test and involves measuring the urine, blood, and hair. So please help our listeners to understand what's being measured.
Sure. And just to back up a little bit of history as to why we often do challenge tests, or in the beginning why we did them. A challenge test, you're taking either IV or orally in a chelator, which will make the mercury, it'll complex the mercury in the blood and lymphatics and make it more water soluble so that it becomes more easily excreted by the kidney. and it amplifies the amount of mercury that comes out in the urine. And there was a time where our testing wasn't sensitive enough to distinguish different people's ambient urine. So when I use the term ambient, that means that I give you a cup and you pee in it, and I don't give you any chelator or anything to amplify the amount of mercury that comes in there. And so the ambient tests all looked about like zero because we didn't have the sensitivity to measure these things that were in the parts per billion range or parts per even parts per trillion. And so we'd give you a chelator, and then you'd come up where we could see everybody, and we could look at everybody, you know, in the horse race and say, well, this guy is higher than this guy, but now we can see everything. And if we had standardized challenge tests and made that so that everybody was on exactly the same scale, it probably would have worked out, it would have added a little bit more robustness to the test. So that's how the challenge is done. And at the papers in the literature, when I went back into where they looked at challenges, they had people before and after challenges. Largely it was augmenting or putting a certain multiple on a signal that was already there. So now you fast forward to modern day analytical techniques, and the testing method that I developed, we can measure down into the parts per quadrillion if we need to. But parts per trillion to parts per billion is no problem at all. And so when we measure everybody, we can see the horse race without amplifying it, without making you pee out more mercury. And so we take blood, we take hair, and we take urine, ambient measures, we measure all of these, and in the blood, we separate to the two different main forms of mercury, methylmercury and inorganic mercury. And then we have all of the biological information about how mercury is distributing through your body, and we get great indices of how well you're excreting those two different forms. We're using urine for an index of excretion of inorganic mercury, and we're using hair for an index of excretion of methylmercury. And we can see everything without challenging it. Now, one of the things that you run into when you do a challenge test is you're relying on the same transporters in the kidneys that move ambient mercury. And so if those transporters are damaged, you can get a false negative in your challenge test. It was a great test in its time, and one of the things I like about it is it shows you a number of different metals. But for mercury itself, you'll get more information by taking ambient measures and speciating them. So, for instance, one doctor who's a client of ours ate a lot of fish and still had some amalgams and suspected he had a lot of mercury, but was doing DMPS challenges, and he was getting a very low number, a number of 4 for mercury in your micrograms per gram creatinine, which is a very low number for Neil and Jacob know those numbers. But then when we looked at his blood, hair, and urine profile, we saw that his blood methyl and inorganic mercury were well up above the 95th percentile of the population. They were very elevated. And then when we looked at the urine-to-blood ratio, we saw that high blood, low urine, the transport proteins in the proximal tubules of the nephron, this isn't glomerular filtration. Glomerular filtration may still be okay, yeah. But so the transporters are not working.
Chris, I'm going to break in for a second, and we need to talk about some of our great sponsors here, and we're going to get back to the subject in a bit. And as we do come back later, I'd like you and Mary Ellen to talk about mercury in the mouth and all of the ramifications of having those amalgams and what needs to be done for that. But in the meantime, I'd like to mention to you one of our fine sponsors, which is BioResource. Healthcare practitioners can find out more by contacting bioresource.com. And they make a number of very specific products that specifically will help the body in terms of these detoxifications. I particularly would like to mention the Picana Remedy Toxex, T-O-X-E-X. The oral drops really help in the elimination of heavy metals. And I'd also recommend 3 of their other products which specifically help detoxification in general. namely the Picana Homeopathics Renelix, R-E-N-E-L-I-X, for kidney, Itiris, I-T-I-R-E-S, for the lymphatic system, and Toxies G-L, T-O-X-E-A-S-E, for both the liver and gut. So please learn more at 1-800-203-3775, and we will go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Are you ready for a real, fact-based show about alternative and natural approaches to health? Listen for Live Healthy, Be Healthy with Drs. Jim and Janine Fox. We're not about the latest health fads. We're about proven methods from real patients and real situations. Each week's show is an eye-opening look behind the scenes of real health. Live Healthy, Be Healthy can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. We are also joined today by Dr. Mary Ellen Chalmers, a fabulous holistic dentist from the Santa Rosa area, and by Dr. Chris Shade, who has developed unique testing at the Quicksilver Scientific Company for mercury. And we've been talking in detail about the measurement of mercury and Chris's tests, which are indeed unique and exceptional. That's what we've been doing if you just joined us. So I'd like to engage in a discussion with Mary Ellen and Chris on the dental toxicity, which Chris has alluded to several times in his opening discussion. We know that you can get mercury toxicity from exposure to coal. You can get it from exposure to fish. You can get it from vaccines. But amalgams are a very, very controversial area. So, Mary Ellen, would you like to start that off?
I will. Amalgams are a controversial area. And, you know, for years, the American Dental Association maintained that they were completely safe. And I think their rationale for that was that they were talking about a layer of passivity, where basically if you put your spit on top of the amalgam, it would keep it from releasing the mercury vapor into the mouth. And really, I think since the late 80s, early 90s, there's really been some convincing evidence that that's simply not true. And so my job when I have patients with amalgams is to determine, you know, do the amalgams absolutely have to come out? I've been mercury-free for over 20 years, haven't placed amalgams once. I graduated in 1980 from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine, and once we really got a good composite resin material, Herculite was developed in the, I think, 86, 87, then I stopped placing amalgam because I had a really good restorative option. And have been mercury safe, and that's an important distinction, and an important distinction patients need to understand. There's a difference between never placing amalgam in, back in someone's mouth, and then there's also certain precautions that need to be taken when these amalgams are removed. I've been mercury safe since I joined the IAOMT about 2005-2006. So my job is to figure out, you know, most of my patients, the patients you refer to me, Neil, are, I get them there, a lot of them are ill, and my job is to figure out, are the amalgams part of it? And while I certainly feel that nobody should be having amalgams replaced, the taking amalgams out and placing them with either composite resins or ceramic crowns needs to be done carefully. And we certainly, you know, I think there are certain clues that we can look to in terms of which of these patients absolutely have to have these amalgams out. One is cardiovascular disease. There was a great paper written by Dr. Mark Houston from Vanderbilt where he established the links between mercury and hypertension. People with cognitive issues, cognitive decline, those amalgams have got to come out. It's important to know that mercury, and I want to be clear about this, mercury is released from your fillings, period. It can affect the your gastrointestinal flora. It can affect your gut and how healthy your gut is. So people with those type of issues, I think getting their amalgams out needs to be on their high priority list. Okay. Another thing we use when we evaluate mercury fillings is we use something called an oral potential meter. And Neil, actually, you're responsible for having okay. that in our office.
Blame is so ugly.
I think it's great. No, and when you first told me about it, I thought, really? And I was trying to give you all these reasons why I didn't think we really needed to be paying attention to galvanism, and you cut me short and you said, look, I just want to know, is there a battery going on at the base of my patient's brain? And it was a profound statement because I immediately thought, oh my God, yeah, I think we really do want to know about that. So we test amalgams, and the machine that I use, as I said, is the oral potential meter, because what I like about that machine is not only does it measure electric potential in terms of volts, but it measures amps and it measures watts, so we actually see if there's an active current going. And particularly in people with mixed metals, and what I mean by mixed metals is patients who have gold crowns or patients who have white crowns, porcelain crowns, but they have a metal substructure. Very oftentimes, the mercury amalgam is going to set up a little battery with those metal restorations. Another new thing that's ever since the advent of the titanium implant, we're seeing the currents that I have measured between mercury amalgam and titanium implants are really significant.
Just to make it very simple for our listeners, whenever you put two metals together, that constitutes a battery.
Exactly.
And so just to make it as simple as we can, what you're saying is anytime there are different metals in the mouth, there is the possibility of creating a significant electrical charge 3 inches from the base of the brain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, and you talk about using frequency-specific microcurrent. That's something that I've been trained and have used. And why your statement was so profound for me, because being trained in frequency-specific microcurrent, I know that microamperages, very subclinical, physiological levels of current, microamperages of current can have a profound healing effect. And it just, when you made that statement, I want to know if there's a battery at the base of my patient's brain, it would seem reasonable to me that even a very low current can have a pathological effect as well.
Well, Chris,
yes.
We haven't talked about this before, but do you have any thoughts about the electrical component and how that could mobilize mercury in patients?
Well, yeah. If you're up against a metal like gold, you've got electrons traveling from the mercury towards the gold, and the release of the electrons is what turns it into an ion, inorganic mercury. So it's dissolving out the amalgam. And there's a lot of speculation that I think is pretty good speculation that current is charge is creating creating ion streams where the mercury can mobilize into the through the root and into the nerve and then travel along the nerve up into the brain.
And I've also heard, and I'd love your comment on, Mary Ellen has commented that one of the unique properties of mercury is that it can go directly from being a solid, which is in the form of an amalgam, to a gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your prominent exposure into your bloodstream.
Right. So literally, when a dentist works on an amalgam and uses a high-speed drill, unless protection is taken, unless the dentist is aware, that patient is literally moving mercury into their system.
Oh, yeah. And just to give you an idea of how much, one of the secretaries who worked for me here heard us talking about all the dental amalgam dangers and ran out. She was, her dental insurance was running out, and she had this guy drill and fill several amalgams out, and we had already measured her, and she was already, her inorganic mercury was already above the 90th percentile. It was very high already. And she came back and she told me, oh, I just had them all removed yesterday. And I said, oh my God, did they use protection? And she said, no, they just drilled them out. And we measured her, and she was fivefold higher than she had been, and she was already really high. It's very seldom I've seen blood levels this high. And this was the day after the removal, and it took about a year to normalize her levels and get them down. Versus when my wife went in and had hers removed by Steve Coral, who's a holistic dentist here in Boulder. He drilled all those out with the right protections. Her levels were low already, and I was only barely able to detect a signal of the change of having those removed. So having the right dentist do the right controls creates a profound amount of protection versus the profound amount of exposure that you get from normally drilling those out.
So
I offer just a little bit of perspective here for listeners, because I throw out this thing that I challenge people to point to anything that I can't make in or out about. So I just want to offer perspective that people have fillings, they've had mercury fillings. So it's stupid that dentistry used it. I think it's crazy to put mercury fillings back in if one is being removed. Having said that, most people with mercury in their mouth, which is virtually everybody,
right,
that's
okay. That was all that was available. And, you know, our body's amazing, right? I mean, this is our detoxification systems generally work. And I think it's why the American Dental Association has really been able to say for years that mercury is safe. But part of what we're finding is that we're finding in this area of increased generalized toxicity that when you combine different toxins, it isn't 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's more like 1 plus 1 equals 10. And so that I think it's because of our overall generalized exposure to pesticides, to different toxins in the air, that the mercury issue is becoming much more important.
Well, what I'd like to do is to focus on, okay, so what does one do about it? If one wants to take some reasonable precautions. And again, the issue is, one, we don't know if mercury is causing the problems that people have.
Exactly.
It's one of literally over 100,000 things probably that can be going on. So I think what would be helpful for listeners here would be, what are some good general common sense things? We talked about, don't put mercury back in your mouth. If you have it taken out, use a composite. If you're going to have it be removed, go to a dentist who practices safe sex, or safe mercury anyway, in this case. Chris, you were talking about glutathione, and Mary Ellen, let's talk about some of the ways that our body can thrive, given the current environment, in terms of detoxing, things along those lines.
Jacob, that will be a perfect segue when we come back here. Let us plan on talking about that. In the meantime, I would like to introduce another of our fabulous sponsors for the program. This one is the Researched Nutritionals Company. This is a company that does a great deal of research. They have been a proud sponsor of our program from the beginning, and we, physicians, turn to them for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations to promote a better quality of health. Now, again, within the context of this program, I'd particularly like to let our listeners know about two of their particular problems. One of them is the product Boluc lumbrokinase, and I'll spell that. That's B-O-L-U-O-K-E, L-U-M-B-R-O-K-I-N-A-S-E. Boluc is a superb product to break down biofilms, which we haven't gotten around to talking about yet, which are thick glops of polysaccharides secreted by cells in the gut that often prevent the body from getting at both toxins and infectious agents. So getting rid of biofilm becomes an important consideration. And I'm also going to mention their form of glutathione, Trifortify Orange, which is an absorbable form of reduced glutathione, very, very helpful in promoting this type of detoxification that we're talking about. That's Trifortify Orange, and the company is Researched Nutritionals at 1-800-755-3402 or going online to researchednutritionals.com, and we will go to break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, with my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and our fabulous guest today, Dr. Mary Ellen Chalmers, premier holistic dentist, and Dr. Chris Shade, who runs the Quicksilver Scientific Company and is an expert on mercury and its detoxification, which we have been discussing in quite a bit of detail here. So, coming back from the break, we've been discussing particularly the difficulties and importance of the dental procedures and finding the right dentist. So, Mary Ellen, why don't you kick us off with, okay, does everyone need to have their amalgams removed? And second, if you're going to get your amalgams removed, what kinds of things do you want as a consumer your dentist to be aware of and doing so you do this properly?
Okay, thank you. Well, just to summarize, not all of the patients who come to our office, I mean, we certainly have a certain number of patients that come requesting amalgam removal, but in a routine exam, not all of the patients have we don't recommend that everybody get all of their amalgams out. A lot of these amalgams are serviceable, and frankly, the majority of the population seem to do well with their amalgams in place. Again, I want to reiterate, it would not be appropriate to put that amalgam back in, but but we're judicious about whether we take them out or not. The things that we consider are we look for that high electrical charge because we know that it's actively breaking down and actively releasing mercury into their mouth. People with cognitive issues, and especially if we see electrical charge, we tend to advocate that perhaps they think about replacing those amalgams. People with cardiovascular disease, people with chronic GI and gastrointestinal issues, those are some of the things that we look for.
Right. So not everybody has to get their amalgams completely removed.
Although I'll note that you just described about 70% of the population.
And I'm willing to bet that if we did Chris's test, we would be terrified at the amount of toxicity that's actually present in our bodies.
Well, and I know, Chris actually was one of the lecturers, the professors in my naturopathic program, and I got liver detoxification because of Chris. I really understood it for the first time, the phases of liver detoxification, and he made a very important point that when mercury is being eliminated from the body, it fuses with glutathione, and when glutathione is a master antioxidant. It's critical
Absolutely.
For our health and well-being. And the important thing to know about mercury is that when mercury is released, it takes the glutathione with it and reduces our glutathione stores, whereas with other toxins, the glutathione will release the toxin and then go back and be recycled back into the liver for future use.
Let me add to that, Mary Ellen, that mercury is a powerful poisoner of the methylation cycle that mm-hmm. makes glutathione. And if you have mercury toxicity, the body is not able to make glutathione the way it needs to.
Right. So when we do have patients that utilize Chris's test, and if Chris's test indicates that they have issues with their mercury levels and with their problems with elimination and detoxification, that would be another candidate to remove the amalgams.
So given that someone needs that, what things do we need to look for from a holistic dentist?
Well, and I don't think it necessarily needs to be a holistic dentist. I think Pardon?
I think you're being kind.
Well, one of my missions is when I lecture for the Institute for Functional Medicine, I've done the demographics. You know, less than 1% of the dentists in the country would consider themselves biological dentists. And there's a true link between our mouth and our general health. And to think that we're going to get those 1% of biological dentists to fix this it isn't going to happen. So one of my goals has been educating the evidence-based dentists on safe amalgam removal protocols. It's not that big a deal. It's not a big financial investment.
I'm really with Mary on this. Technical skill as a dentist
exactly
is the most important thing, and then you're just going to bring in some dental dams, some ventilation, and keep your office clean, and that is 90-95% of the game.
Well, it is, and there's HEPA filters. We have two HEPA filters in the office. We have one that sits by the chair. I think they've called it an elephant ear, but it has a funnel that sits under a patient's jaw when the amalgams are removed, and it acts like a vacuum cleaner so that when I put that high-speed handpiece to that amalgam and that vapor is released, it's taken into the vacuum and the HEPA filter. We have special filters in the HEPA filter that actually they're special filters for mercury, and then we have another HEPA filter that runs throughout the office. It does about 1,200, and it runs 24/7. We actually use it on the weekends to blast the office out, and it makes a big difference in terms of our exposure. And
so Mary Ellen, for these technical things are good, and I actually appreciate your noting that even somebody who's just a standard evidence-based or standard dentist can learn how to do these. How do people out there, if the listeners want to figure out, okay, how do I find somebody to help me because I do want the fillings out? I'm going to note that in my patients, I find when the mercury is removed, about one-third get worse, one-third get better, and one third no change. So I'm slow to do it unless there's a good indication. I'd rather focus on how to help the body detox. But Mary Ellen, if people want to get the mercury out, how do they find somebody who knows what they're doing, who knows how to do safe dentistry?
Well, I think the IAOMT, International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, it's www.iaomt.org, has really, they've got great videos on that website that will help patients really understand what the protocols are all about, and then they have a referral source. Another really great website is Dr. Tom McGuire's website, Mercury Safe Dentistry, on Mercury Safe Dentistry. And he's got a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of resources. He's got a great video on there. He actually has a video where he showed a Jerome mercury vapor analyzer and just rubbing a toothbrush across an amalgam filling and the amount of mercury that's released. And it's a great little video. And I can actually, if you want, I can provide the links for these actively on the site afterwards if you'd like me to do that.
That would be great. The second question, which Jacob asked before we went to our last break, was about generally improving detoxificational abilities. Because it becomes obvious here that we're talking in all of our patients about what I would call biochemical individuality, that right. Everybody is different. If we weren't able to get rid of mercury from our bodies, we'd all be dead by now. So obviously we are able to a greater or lesser extent, and we're just talking about mercury, but we're able to get right. rid of virtually all the toxins that we are exposed to on an increasing daily basis. So our job is to help our patients understand their ability to detoxify and to help them with that.
Mm-hmm.
So from that concept, Chris, do you have some thoughts you want to share
yeah.
with our listeners?
And this speaks towards what Jacob was starting to get at earlier, and that's that a lot of us have amalgam and are doing okay. And I was talking to him on the break that the level is not necessarily how sick somebody is. Somebody may be fine with a high level. And this was best illustrated by a paper I saw where they found a line of cells that could swim in vast amounts of cadmium, mercury, and arsenic. So they were fine with it. And they found that there was three parts to those cells doing that. And if they knocked any one of those parts out, the cells couldn't deal with that metal anymore. And the three parts were glutathione biosynthesis, so they had to be creating new glutathione all the time. Then there was an enzyme called glutathione S transferase that links the mercury onto the glutathione, takes it away from the cellular proteins. And then, of course, there was a transport protein out. And if you can keep all of those running, you can be more healthy without actually changing the level of mercury in your body. Though at the same time, when you get those running, you start pushing mercury out of the body. And so you need to have the glutathione, and you can either take liposomal glutathione or inhaled glutathione or precursors to glutathione. Then you need the enzymes working, and it's mostly plant-based medicine that does that. There's polyphenolic antioxidants like you would have from green tea extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract. There are sulfur-based chemicals that we think of in naturopathic mercury detoxification, like garlic. All the cabbage and broccoli family, all those bring up the activity of these enzymes. And then, ironically, some oxidants too. So ozone therapy acts by stimulating this bounce back in this antioxidant system. And so you've got glutathione, you've got these enzymes induced by plant chemistry or ozone, and then also lipoic acid hits those too. That's very important. And it's the R-lipoic acid form that does that the most. And then transport is most strongly controlled by GI health. Having a normal GI system without inflammation is the best way to open up the transport system, and always binding and bringing the mercury out of the GI tract is what keeps it always flowing down there. And that's when people talk about binders like chlorella or the product that we made that's called IMD These are silica particles saturated with sulfhydryl groups, the same kind of sulfur that binds up mercury. So as glutathione is bringing mercury down to the GI tract, you're always grabbing it, holding it onto the silica particle or onto your chlorella, and pulling it out through fecal excretion. If you have all three of those working, your cells are going to be able to resist the mercury even before the levels come down.
Wow, Chris, that was one of the best three-minute discussions of detoxification I've ever heard.
I can make up for my long rant on testing.
That was superb. I'm going to take a moment to talk about two more of my sponsors. One of them is Metagenics. Metagenics is one of the oldest and best research supplement companies in our lovely country, and I would encourage you to go online to metagenics.com. Particularly in terms of what we're talking about, look at their products called Detox Ultra Clear Renew and AdvaClear, AdvaClear. These are formulated products which are intended to assist and synergize many of the things that Chris is describing in his discussion here. You will find those in that product. The second sponsor that I want to mention, and it was mentioned by Dr. Mary Ellen Chalmers, is frequency-specific microcurrent, which is a very gentle electrical process in which we can assist the removal of inflammation and the healing process throughout dental procedures. And I know that Mary Ellen has pioneered the use of frequency-specific microcurrent in dental procedures. I know that she uses it routinely in her office practice with fabulous success. So look at frequencyspecific.com for more information about finding a practitioner near you to provide that service. So we will go to another break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com. Are you facing unexplainable struggles with your health? Listen to someone who has been there. Join host Teresa Jungling each week for Living Natural Today, Out with Toxins, In with Your Health, as she interviews experts who will shed light and offer practical advice on how you can minimize toxins in your food, home, personal care products, and more. Living Natural Today, Out with Toxins, In with Your Health, is heard live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Also joining us on this powerhouse show today is Dr. Mary Ellen Chalmers, our superb holistic dentist from Santa Rosa, California, and Dr. Chris Shade from Colorado, who founded the Quicksilver Scientific Company and has pioneered some fabulous work in understanding mercury toxicity and how to treat it. So, Jacob, let's bring up yet another important dental subject, which is dry mouth. and present that to our listeners as well.
Because that's such a big problem, the dry mouth and sometimes dry eyes, in people with fibromyalgia, other autoimmune diseases. It's not just in the Sjogren's and similar things. But it's important to know, one, if you have dry eyes and dry mouth especially, it's going to cause more cavities. Mm-hmm. I've seen people, when the dry mouth hit, they landed up with 10 cavities over a year. And there's some natural things that are very good for restoring saliva production. Number one would be fish oils, and I don't want people taking 8 to 16 tablets of fish oil and burping up fish oil all day. For my folks, what I have them do is take something called Vectomega, where one pill supplies the omega-3s of 8 big fish oil capsules. So the Vectomega, one or two a day. I'm going to have them take a vitamin powder, the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder. It has many nutrients needed not just for dry mouth, but also to restore glutathione. It has glutamine, glycine, cysteine, vitamin C, and a host of things. But probably the premier herbal for helping to restore the saliva production comes from sea buckthorn. And it has to be from the proper part of the plant. This is one of the brand matters. And I use one called Omega 7. It is an incredible product, 1 to 2 twice a day. It takes about 2-3 months, and then you can drop the dose. But people find the whole body gets moister. The wrinkles get less, even vaginal dryness, indigestion goes down. But their mouths and their eyes start to get the natural lubrication again. This will decrease cavity formation and infections in the mouth. So that's one biggie. There's also the interesting thing that plaque is now being associated in dental infections with Alzheimer's. So, Mary Ellen, would you mind jumping in terms of both your approach to dry mouth and also if you have any insights in terms of Alzheimer's and dental infections?
All right. Well, first of all, let's talk about dry mouth, because dry mouth, I agree with you. Dry mouth is a real problem. It's a significant problem. And the question I have and the question I ask when around my functional medicine colleagues is, you know, what is the dry mouth doing to our digestion? I don't even think we've begun to scratch the surface on that, because these salivary amylases are so important. I mean, really, digestion is initiated in the mouth. When we're lacking adequate amount of saliva to start the breakdown of the bolus of food, I'm wondering, it's a question that I have, and I haven't really had time to delve into it and do any research, or if there's any research that's been done. How does this affect our immune system, and how does it affect our gastrointestinal flora? But when we see someone with dry mouth, we try to identify the reasons why. We talk to them about medications, because sometimes there are a lot of side effects. I mean, it's a very common side effect we see from psychiatric meds, from
antidepressants.
Thank you. Your antidepressant, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That's what I was looking for. But we look for that. And then the other thing is we begin to identify different issues with autoimmune disease. We take a look at, are there metals a problem in contributing to the expression of their autoimmune disease? Mixed metals, and what we were talking about with the galvanism and the ions, and this is another long conversation with MELISA testing that we can have at another time, but we look to see if their metals are contributing to their generally heightened autoimmune response. The other thing we look at is gluten and celiac disease. And, you know, we've heard the term leaky gut, and I think it's ridiculous for us to assume that gluten is only going to impact the tight junctions in the gastrointestinal system. There's actually there was a paper published in 2010 that documented the presence of tight junctions in the salivary epithelium that responded the same with zonulin and occludins and very much the same pathways that Alessio Fasano has documented. So, you know, there are important oral and dental manifestations of celiac disease. Enamel defects, delayed tooth eruptions, people who have recurrent aphthous ulcers, recurrent canker sores, oral lichen planus, different, which can manifest as white lacy lesions or erosive lesions in the mouth. The tongue, the technical term is atrophic glossitis. What we're talking about is a very smooth tongue. Or another manifestation is something called angular keelosis. It's those sores at the corner of the mouth.
Let me note, Mary Ellen, also that for a lot of the things you just mentioned, especially the keelosis or keelitis, the aphthous ulcers, what I find so often in my population is that it's candida. And when I'll give Mysolex, and it'll knock it out if I hit it quickly, but also that I'm going to go with the Diflucan for the 6 weeks. And I find that those two, and especially if I give the B vitamins as well, because there'll be B vitamin deficiencies, will often knock it out. I wanted to mention one thing, too. I'm sorry for interrupting, but there was one that I feel is really important for listeners. We talk about the critical nature of glutathione for detoxification, but the problem is most glutathiones are either digested or they're oxidized and they don't work. And there's one that's a new one. It's called clinical glutathione. It's a sublingual melt under your tongue lozenge that increases the ratio of the good glutathione to the inactive by 230%. It's a really dramatic step forward. And it's one that I think is going to be very helpful for people who are looking for detoxification. So, again, it's called clinical glutathione. One under the tongue twice a day,
right.
Gives 300 milligrams of the reduced glutathione. Very good product.
We could probably do a program exclusively devoted to glutathione and its manifestations, especially with all of us here talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I totally appreciate Chris and Mary Ellen joining us here today. This has been fabulous, and I really hope we can do this again and delve into some more of this material.
Thank you.
So please tune in next week when Dr. Teitelbaum and I will be going to Expo East 2014. Dr. Teitelbaum will be interviewing a variety of folks who make some of the newest and hottest and most important new products on the market. They will include things like glutathione, curcumin, comfrey, angelica, the omega-3 fatty acids, silica, and more. So there'll be a whole lot of supplements that we're going to be delving into detail next week. Please join us. Stay in good health, and have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan and co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.